the idea of the whiteboard is, I just want you to see actually what the Lord forgave me for. Well, forgave me of rather. And I think the illustration will be good for us. So it won't be for the most part of the priest, just the first 20%, I imagine. So actually, I want to show us some of the stuff the Lord forgave me for. This is actually too far. So, yeah, that's quite naughty, guys. You have no idea. I was one of those terrible children. So when I was in high school, guys, we are doing forgiveness, walking out forgiveness, and also dealing with unforgiveness. All right. So this is what the Lord forgave me for. So in high school, man, I stole so much things. I stole 2 phones. I remember not having a phone. I remember not having a phone in school, and I was like, man, I want a phone. So I stole 2 phones. I remember it was BlackBerry. At that time, BlackBerry was really expensive. And, you know, it's so bad. So I didn't steal money, though, but I stole phones on school. Yeah. So Joey shared last week on All My Friends Are Dead. That is true, most of them. So I grew up in Alsace River. I had enough, but I didn't have like a lot. And so just some context of where I'm from is quite rough. I'm talking about, you'll see people begging in the streets. You'll see people walking there saying, 2 rand, sir. Every 20 seconds, 2 rand, sir, 2 rand, sir. And today, actually most of my friends are dead, most of them. I think out of the 15 of us, I think there are 2 of us that are working, one being me, one being married, one is living in the Cayman Islands. He moved over, he did quite well, and the others are either on the street, kicked onto the street, or either have passed on. I actually lost a friend the other day. He was in and out of prison, and today he died. And he actually died alone. He died alone, and nobody knew he was sick. And that's what the world does. When you're in the world and you follow the world, you are actually alone. None of us knew he was sick. None of us knew that he was struggling with, I think it was cancer, and he had TB, and he was in and out of prison. And nobody knew that. Because when you live in the world, you're actually living for yourself, and you are actually by yourself. But when you're in the family of God, you have real family. You got loved ones who care for you, people who think about you, people who say, hey, are you sick? Can I bring something? But when you live for yourself, you actually end up dying by yourself, actually. Cool, so, yeah, I smoked cigarettes since age of 13. Cigarettes, how do you spell that? I'll just draw one. how long ago is 2013 from now? No, 2013, 2009 from now. It's about 14 years, eh? 14 years I've been smoking cigarettes. 14 years. I think I was... Is it? Yeah. Cool. I got tattoos when I was in grade 8. Yeah, I've got a lot of tattoos, guys. Stuff you don't even know of. Stuff you'll never see. I don't think that's bad, really, to be honest. I've watched stuff that I shouldn't have. I've slept around. And if I think back, doing all that stuff, I was actually very lonely. That stuff, as cool as it seems to the outside, as cool as it looks like to those who are looking at it on my camera, like, oh, it looks so cool. And it's empty. Because you go home at night and you think like, yo, I wish there was more to my life than what it looks like on the outside. I did drugs. I smoked cigarettes and I kind of skipped weed because weed was boring. Weed is drugs, guys. I did crystal meth for 4 years. Yeah. Do you guys know what crystal meth is? Stuck. That's what it actually is. And when people think about that, often the response is like, hey. Whoa, whoa, whoa. How about you stand there? I'm not sure if you might steal my stuff. That was me. That was me. I didn't pickpocket people or steal stuff, but that was me. I actually, and this was all between grade 9 and matric. Grade 9 and matric. I remember one day being at youth, and this is why it's so important for our youth leaders to actually know the Lord and walk in His grace. I was sitting one day with one of my youth leaders. His name is Ulrich, and we were chilling, and he said to me, Baz. Well, sorry, in Edgemere, they call me Baz with a Z. He said, Baz, don't you want to just tell me your darkest secret? I was like, okay. I do crystal meth. And he said, oh, cool. That's cool. And he said, okay, let's pray that the Lord sets you free. And in that week, we met with my parents. He didn't tell me what. I don't know what he told them. But we sat one night down, and he said, hey, Baz, say sorry to your mom and dad for doing drugs. And I was like, hey, mom, sorry. Dad, sorry. And you know what? I have not done crystal meth ever since. Withdrawals. Yeah, I've had none. That day I walked away like, oh, okay, we don't do it anymore. And if I think about my friends now who've done maybe not as, yeah, they are still stuck in that place. And that's the power of God. Guys, during this time, I've broken windows. I've hit out many windows. I've broken doors. I've kicked down, I've broken cupboards. Yes, guys. That's super destructive. Yeah, that's right. Guys, Nick's famous statement these days, I'm not here for a long time, I'm here for a good time. Cupboards, I broke, man, I broke so many things. I even fought with my parents. I swore at my dad. I said, yo, you're useless. I hate you. I wish mom never married you. I said all those things to my mom and dad. I even hit my dad. I even hit my mom. I hit them both. Through all the fighting, the pushing, the shoving, smacking, I did all of that stuff. I want to show you this because I want you to see what the Lord done. Yeah. And you know, when I think about it, sometimes it actually breaks my heart. When I think back, I was like, yo, I did that to my dad. I did that to my mom. And I'm forgiven today, but it breaks my heart to think like, oh, what did I do? So the power of the gospel is that Jesus forgives. And that He holds nothing against us. So when I receive, well, this is only some stuff. So when I receive forgiveness, Jesus does this. He does this. And the Bible says He removes our sin. It's from the east, it's from the west. And He doesn't hold a single thing against us. I was trapped in all of this. And I said, yo, God, like, will I ever make it? So I had 2 points in my life where I was. 1 point I was here, and you'll hear a little later, I was another point where I was again, God, will I ever make it? At this point, I said, God, and I've done so much. I actually feel useless. Because, I mean, when you've done all these things and you've been caught up in all this stuff, you feel like, my life's over. And I had a dream once upon a time. In the dream, it seemed like we were in heaven. And it seemed like it was heaven. And there was these high golden doors, like high doors, gold doors. And in this place, there was little seat, like tables. Like, you know, when you go to a wedding, like these little round tables. And at the tables was people like Moses and Joey and people like, people like, anyway, like all the greats of the Bible, Matthew, all those people. And as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking like, I don't belong here. I actually don't belong here. And I sit at, you know, that table at the back where no one, that awkward table in the wedding where you put the guys at the back. I was at that table. And in walks the Lion of Judah. In my dream, and he walks in, and I'm thinking, yeah, he's probably gonna go to probably where Joey is, or where Matthew is, or where Elijah is. And actually, he came to me, and I said, why did you come here? And he said, it's because I choose you. And as he sat by the table with me, and this is a real dream, like I'm not, like, I'm experiencing the Lord in this dream. And I said, God, but I got nothing to give you. Not like these guys. And in my, guys, I'm not joking, in my hands appears Simba chips. And 3 10-cent sweets. So I think the 10-cent sweet speaks to nothing. I mean, it speaks to, I think at that time I thought it was 5-cent sweets. And it speaks to like I'm having nothing. And God says, I still choose you. I still want you. And I say, like, God is not choosing you based off how important you are to society or how cool you are on Instagram or how popular you are or how amazing you are. He's not choosing you based off what the world sees. He's choosing you because he wants you. He wants you. So, enlightened news. I failed my license 7 times. I don't know why Abigail is laughing. Abigail failed 3 times. Ah, 3. You lying now. And you know what she done on the third time? She exits the yard to do the test. And she drives on the opposite side of the road. And the instructor says to her, thank you, ma'am. You can turn around. And so I don't know why. She's just there. She's there as well. 3 is not far from 7. 3 is not far from 7. Guys, I failed grade 9. Oh, I was bad at school. Ah, so bad. Grades with a G. Yeah. I failed grade 9. So anyways, I finished school. I go to college. I fail college. Mom says, you gotta go back. Okay, go. I go back. Man, I fail again. So in my mind, I'm like, I'm not cut out for this thing. I'm not meant to be doing this kind of stuff. I want to study. I'm just naughty. Like, I just can't get myself to sit in the seat and be like, okay, I'm going to give myself. Anyways, I failed the 2nd time. I go back a 3rd time. I fail again. I failed 3 times. Listen, this is a lot of failure, eh? This is a lot of failing. Guys, just to let you know, today I work in the bank. So I failed 3 times. So I failed something you can't fail in. Like, I failed something you are not allowed to actually fail. Like, there's no way you can fail. And I failed TMT. Guys, you know TMT is a year of your life where you just go there and say, yeah, I am. I failed that. I was such a bad apple. I got kicked out for, I was bad. I was so bad. Yeah, I was so bad. But I want to say this, just on in light of the dream. That God chooses us regardless of our mistakes. And we serve a God that forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives. So when God forgives, he forgives. It doesn't matter how many times you've messed up, as long as you come with a repentant heart. And I think through all my life, man, like Uncle Joe said, actually, he knows me since I was maybe 3 years old. Through all my life, through getting saved in grade 7, there was always something in my heart that I always wanted to know God. I didn't know how to do it at the time and throughout all that time, but there was something in me that was like, God, I want to know you. And if I look back through all these things, I was always in church. And no one told me, you must come. I was just like, I want to be there. And that's what I think God actually held on to me through all of this. And so sometimes, we receive forgiveness, and it's just like, okay, you're forgiven, and like, yeah, that's chilled. And sometimes there's consequences. Sometimes there's boundaries. Example of a boundary would be, let's say you struggle with partying or going out and drinking at night, for example, as a believer. And the counsel that your leaders give you is like, hey, you know you are like this. So let's not stay outside later than 9 o'clock. And they put a bound and they help you with the boundary. Because the boundary is actually a safety net for you. Because you know if you go beyond that, you know where you're going to end up. So that's a good boundary. The boundary keeps you in a safe place. So because I always lived outside of the boundaries, weed was boring, crystal meth, yes. I always lived, I did it my own way. If I look, I came home when I wanted to, in my matric ball, I think I came home like 5 days later. I don't know if people knew where I even was. My mom was looking like, where are you? I'm like, I'm safe, mom. Don't worry. I'll see you soon. I think I came back like, it was the Friday. I maybe came back the Tuesday. But that's what it shows you. I loved how I wanted. I had no rules. I loved according to what I thought, I want to do this. So there was no boundaries. So in coming back from TMT, I made a lot of mistakes actually in TMT. Like I drank, I was still smoking at the time. I fought with everybody. I swore at everybody. I messed up. I messed up big time in TMT. And the cherry on top, the last straw for me was, and not that there's last straws, but I think me being at TMT and what I was doing showed them I actually didn't want to be there, but I was living. And I was acting rather, if that makes sense. So I ended up sleeping with a girl on that side. And I think for them, it showed them like, hey, like you actually don't care. You don't really want to be here. So they kicked me out. 4 months. Kicked me out. And so in coming back, because I lived outside of the boundaries for most of my life and not listening to rules, they thought it was good that you put rules on me, put boundaries on me to keep me in that safe place. So, yo guys, I had hectic rules. I had hectic boundaries. So, the boundaries they put on me. Oh, now let's look at a scripture. Yeah, let's look at one of the scriptures. It pulls out of the way. Job. Can we look at Job? Job 5. Yeah. But consider the joy of those corrected by God. Some versions say, blessed is the one. Blessed is the one corrected by God. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty when you sin. And I think for a lot of us, whenever we see correction, boundaries, discipline, we go like, whoa, not me. I can sort myself out. But I want to say, correction and boundaries are good for us. On Titania, I was sitting with Uncle John yesterday going through some of my preaching. I was talking about how correction is helpful. And she said to me, why is correction helpful? And I was like, huh? And I'm preparing, and I'm like, huh? And I went home, and I just said to the Lord, and this is why correction and boundaries are helpful. Because the way that seems right to man leads to destruction. But when we live in God's boundaries and in His ways and in His truth, we live in truth, and we live in a safe place. I'm saying if you're living for yourself, you're actually not free. And if you live for the Lord, you're walking in so much freedom. Imagine being a forgiven people, but not a free people. Just think about that. God forgives you every time. His mercy is on you. God, I'm sorry, but I keep on staying in that place of sinning. Keep on staying in that place of no boundaries. Keep on staying in that place of, oh, I'm making mistakes. Keep on. Because there's no boundaries, because there's no correction, because there's no, hey, check this area. You are forgiven, but never free. Just think about that. God forgives you every time. But you stay in a place of being trapped. Oh, I've jumped my notes, actually. I've jumped my notes. And today, if I look at it, today, Abby, today we are walking in the fruit of discipline. I'm walking in the fruit of discipline today. And today I can say, consider the joy. Today I can say I'm joyful. Because I did not despise the discipline. Well, I did in the beginning. I did. I was like, ah, sucks. Nobody likes boundaries, right? Nobody wants to be told, hey, you can't go out at night. You can't do this. You can't do that. Nobody wants to be told that. But today, I'm married to the most prettiest woman in the world. I have my own home. I got cats. We're debt free. We have all these things because I'm living in the blessing of God. Because I gave myself to discipline. I gave myself to the things that are like, oh, that sucks, God. But I gave myself to that thing. And today I have so much. If I look at my friends, man, they all. And sometimes I go home and I go pop around by the aunties. And I have tea with them. And I say, how's Eddie doing? You know what Eddie did the last time? Eddie's the real guy. He's the real, his name is Edson. You know what he did a couple of months ago? He stole a police car. That's not jokes. That's real. He stole a police car. And then they found him. And they put him in jail. And he's out again. And I'm thinking like, man, that would have been me. If I didn't give myself to correction, that would have been me. I got I got four friends just living on the streets. Sometimes live by each other in little walkies at the back. Or maybe they're living under the bridge. Or they're scuttling on the street. Or they're robbing people. That should have been me. That actually was going to be me. That actually is me if I wouldn't have given myself to discipline. If I didn't submit myself to the Lord and say, God, I want your correction. And I want to say, in order to stay in a place of forgiveness and stay in a place of freedom, we must accept boundaries. We must accept God's ways, God's laws, God's truth. And that keeps us in the safe place of actually being free. Does it make sense? Yeah. I've lost my notes. So here's some of the boundaries they put on me. So remember, I was doing what I want. So some boundaries said to me, you cannot speak to any girls. Ever. Ever. I cannot speak to any females except my mom. It was right there. Like zero contact. Like if Donna or anybody, hey, going this way. That doesn't matter who you were. My eldest in Edgemont said to me, I don't care who the females are, you do not speak to anyone because I needed that boundary. I hated it. Imagine only speaking to guys. Can you imagine that? It's impossible. It is impossible. Just think about it. Imagine ladies only speaking to ladies ever for indefinitely. It is so hard. So that was one of them. The other one was, and you know what's crazy? I had a dream Abigail was going to be my wife in 2014. And in me coming back in 2018, all of a sudden the Lord speaks to her. Sebastian is your husband. So now I'm coming back. I can't speak to anybody. And Abigail's like, woo, I think you're my man. And I'm like, yes, Lord, this is your, you said I was going to marry her. And now she's here. And I can't speak to her. Do you understand how that sucks? I couldn't go out. I had to report to church in the morning. Most mornings I had to report to the church and be like, I'm here. What do you want to tell me? And sometimes I packed out cords. I redone. Yeah. I did some church work within the church in terms of cleaning and stuff because I'm without a job. I didn't have a phone at the time. I had no car. I had no license. I had no job. Yeah. So I'm in church meeting with Rian, and he's saying, okay, you are here. And actually what he was doing, he was actually caring for me. He kept, if I look back, he actually kept me off the street. Because and then I did like cabling. Cabling sucked, guys. I don't know the sound, guys. Yeah. So I reported to church every morning randomly. When he said, hey, come to church, come sit here. There was a boundary. You meet me. You know what I mean? Another boundary was you cannot go out at night. No matter the reason. You stay indoors. So whenever I came home. That was it. There was no going out. That was a boundary. That's a boundary. Another boundary was they actually gave me a job. So they put me in a coffee shop. So for you guys who don't know, I actually can do barista work. I worked there for under 2 years. I can do all the flowers. Well, I could. I could do all those stuff. And they put me in this little coffee shop where there were deacons. And actually what they did was they cared for me. They actually nurtured me back, actually. If I look now, that's what they've done. And they did a very good job. They cared for me. They looked after me. They showed me family. I remember sometimes sleeping in their home when we went to go to functions. And what they did was they showed me family. But in my mind, that was a boundary of like, oh, you're telling me to work here? Why can't I leave this work? I can go find something else. If I look back, that was probably the greatest thing that they could have done. And if I look now at that boundaries, would you say they were boundaries that sucked? Yes. But if I look at the result of the boundary, I've reaped much fruit from those boundaries. All right. But listen, guys, it sucked. There were many nights I thought, like, your God, my life is over. Remember, I'm kicked out of TMT. I failed many things. most of our congregation, well, it felt like they knew. I mean, when you come back from, people be happy that you're going away, and then you're like, oh, why are you here? Oh, yeah, I failed. It's like, oh, why, what happened? This and that. So imagine being embarrassed, being shameful. Another thing I failed, amongst all the other things that I failed. Can you imagine how low self-esteem, I think at that time I was very depressed. And I cried many nights out to the Lord, saying, God, will I ever make it? And he reminded me of two things, actually. One was, we were at a youth thing where one of the ladies came, and she prophesied. She said to me, you are a rebellious child, but the Lord says you will serve him to the very end. And in this time of not knowing, this uncertainty, all these hard times of boundaries, walking out forgiveness, all these things, I said, God, I remember. And I cried many nights in my bed. God, I remember you said, I'll serve you to the end. Don't let go of me. And I made it to this. And you know what I held on? I held on to this. I held on to the simple fact that Jesus was holding on to me, nothing else. And he carried me through. So I gave myself to the boundaries. So I gave myself to the boundaries. There's a scripture where it speaks about we are the righteousness of Christ for those who are in Jesus. So when God looks at us, he sees the Son. He doesn't see us. He sees Jesus. So when we get saved, we receive God, Jesus' righteousness and his holiness. But not all of us walk in righteousness and holiness. So sometimes there's areas of our hearts where it's like, so let's say we're smoking. So I smoked. So here's an area of my life that's not righteous. But I'm made righteous by Jesus. There's an area of my life that's not righteous. Because I'm smoking, I'm sinning in this area, I'm doing as I please, I'm living for myself. And now Jesus redeems that area. I no longer smoke. Now I'm walking in an area in righteousness that I wasn't before. So now I'm walking out righteousness. I'm made righteous, but now I'm walking righteously. Does that make sense? Can you put up the scripture of Jeremiah 18 verse 4? And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel. I googled the correspondence. What's the word, Joey? What the marred clay means. And the marred clay simply means this. It's the moral and spiritual failings of the person. So it's my moral and spiritual failings that have marred the clay. And the new vessel speaks to the redeeming power of God. And if I look back, look at all I'd done, I was that marred clay. And as God began to redeem areas of my life, all that places of like smoking, sexual sin, I'm beginning to walk righteously before him. And now he's beginning to form a new vessel, the vessel you see today. And as God redeems those areas of sin, those areas of compromise, those areas of unforgiveness, struggling to forgive, what is happening, God is redeeming those areas and a new vessel is taking place. I hope that's a good picture for us. So then there's another side of there's the other side. So that is receiving forgiveness, boundaries, there's consequences sometimes. The other side is unforgiveness. So I had a lot of unforgiveness. Man, guys, I had a ton. From school days, people telling me, you failed all the time. You never get these things right. You're stupid. Why do you come back? You're just wasting your mother's money. You're wasting your own money. You're wasting other people's money. Your failure. That in itself is a lot to hear. And remember, I did fail. And then to hear it again, your failure. And then failing again, your failure, your failure. So if I look back at my teachers, man, I actually had a lot of unforgiveness. A lot of unforgiveness. And I want to say, it doesn't matter if unforgiveness is here in your face, like, it's glaring, or if it's subtle, like, only when I think of that one moment, I remember. I'm saying unforgiveness is unforgiveness, and we must deal with it. Because if we don't deal with unforgiveness, we're actually stuck. Stuck in our, I can't even say this word properly, in our relationship with God, and even our relationship with others. We must forgive. Must forgive. And listen, Abigail and I, we've been hurt by leaders, by saints, by brothers, by family, by mothers, by fathers. Shame, Abigail. So, you know, Abigail actually took a lot of flack in dating me. A lot of flack. People told her, like, you're gonna knock your head. You're gonna have headaches dating him. You're not gonna have a life dating him. Guys, I work in a bank. The Lord has redeemed me. I work in the bank. People told her, you're gonna struggle all your life if you marry him. You are gonna be unhappy, you're gonna have headaches. I remember those sort of stuff. And this was after I stopped smoking cigarettes, eh? So I'm walking in a little bit of life already. So this distraction of me of my life saying, I'm dealing with sin. I'm dealing with these things. And people still said, you're gonna have a headache with him. You're gonna have all these things. And I think we must forgive one another when we did make mistakes and not keep those people in the boxes of what we think they are because of all their failures. We must break those stuff. So a lot of hurt. Man, I was hurt by how leaders dealt with situations. I was hurt by how they spoke to me, how they communicated things with me. And just on that, guys, if we are hurt by how leaders communicate stuff, let's not get stuck at that point. Sometimes leaders do make mistakes, but let's not get stuck in how they communicated, rather what they are hoping that the Lord will do in us. Because if we get stuck at the communication part, we are stuck, regardless of what else God wants to do. So don't hold how they speak by either if they're excited, not excited, if they, you know, there's a lot that happens. So let's not get stuck in the communication part of when they are trying to tell us something. All right, that's very important. Because often we shut down when something is not worded how we thought it should be. And even that idea of how we think we must be spoken to stops us from walking in God's life. All right. I shared that already. Yeah. Abby and I actually had to deal with, if I must tell you some of the stuff we heard, even when we were engaged, people said to her, break off the engagement. You're making a mistake. And can you imagine hearing that and thinking like, oh my gosh, God, how do you deal with that? It's supposed to be a happy day. And in the week off, people are saying, whoa, you're going to crash and burn if you marry him. And just to give you some context, I was already walking in some of the life of God. I already had dealt with things. It wasn't like I was as wild. But because of the boxes I was in, people were still saying. So that's why I say to you guys, we must break the boxes of what we think others fit in. So now we're sitting with like, oh, this one said that. This one's not happy that we engaged. I'm called into this meeting. What happened here? Why are they saying this? And I want to say, guys, man, Abby and I fought with tears forgiving people. Tears sitting at night thinking like, God, why did they say that? It's not nice. And you know what we did? We forgave them. Because I realized that if I don't forgive, I will always be stuck in that place. And God says we're called to what? Love one another. So if I'm stuck in unforgiveness with you, I can't love you properly. Therefore, how do I love the Lord? How do I love God if I can't love you? The Bible says, I'm paraphrasing now. How can you love God who you don't see if you don't love the brothers who you are with or who you can see? And if I can close this section off at least with Luke 7, 47. I tell you, her sins, and they are many. Many have been forgiven. So she has shown much love. And basically what it says is, if you have been forgiven much, you will love much. And I realized that even at that time of struggling with unforgiveness, not wanting to forgive, and it's sore, and it's supposed to be a happy time for us, and now it's actually not happy, I realized because I love the Lord, I want to forgive others. I didn't want to be stuck in that place. And I want to say, guys, man, if you do not forgive, what God has called you to, what he wants to bring you in, and even what he wants to bring you out of, you will stay stuck in that place. Can you imagine going around the mountain your whole life because you don't want to say, I forgive you because you did that thing and it hurt me? Going around your whole life and never walking in the blessing of God, never walking in the calling of God, never walking in what God has for you. And even sometimes, if what God wants to bring you out of, because you're stuck in that place. All right. Let's bow our heads and can we have someone on the keys? You know, I've been actually struggling with my skin the other day. For those who don't know, I think I've got leprosy. I went to the doctor the other day and they told me, okay, don't worry, you are in the clear. It's just a virus or something that I've picked up. I've got a lot of spots. But actually, before I went to the doctor, asked Abigail, I was super insecure. I was like, Abby, they're going to think I'm sick. If you look at my arms, like if you look at this, I've got this kind of scarring all over my body, all over. And I want to say, it's a good picture for us, that often when we're in times like this, when God is calling us, we're scared to put up our hands because of what we think people will say. I want to say today is the day that salvation has come and that the kingdom of God is here. And I want to invite you into the invitation of Jesus wants to. We all have a whiteboard. We actually all have a whiteboard. And for some of us, our sins have been forgiven. And for some of us, our sins still stand against us. And today the Lord is saying, He wants to wipe your whiteboard. And He wants to pour out grace onto you. And He wants to love you and be with you and care for you and tell you how much He loves you and tell you how much He loves you again and pour out mercy on you and care for you. Because that's God. He forgives and He forgives. And I want to invite you today to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So with all heads bowed, if there's anybody that would like to give their life to the Lord and have their sins forgiven and even receive forgiveness from God today, just lift up your hand. We'll give it a couple of moments. I want to say, don't be afraid of what people would think if you put up your hand for salvation. Don't let your own thoughts stop you from walking in the freedom and the forgiveness of God. Yeah. Just lift up your hand. I pray, God, that if there is anybody of us here who are afraid and are embarrassed because of what people may think, I pray, Jesus, that you'd break that thing in Jesus' name. And then there's another call for, if you are struggling with unforgiveness, if you are struggling with, and I say unforgiveness sometimes is quite subtle, but sometimes you're reminded only when someone else reminds you of it, like, oh, that thing is still there. I want to say, don't get stuck. And if you are struggling with unforgiveness, I'd even ask you to come to the front. Come and receive grace by God.
So I think I don't think it's so much a thing of coming to the front. I think it's if the Lord needs to do business with you today. And the thing of being stuck, the word speaks about the root of bitterness that'll take hold and defile you and many around you. And this thing of unforgiveness, I think there's two things. The thing is, can you forgive others? And can you receive forgiveness? So like Bessie said, sometimes shame can come. And you can't quite find freedom. And I believe this morning, throughout the service, the Lord's been speaking about your hearts. And He wants to do something in you. He wants to set you free. He wants you to run this race. So if there's anyone that in their heart they know, Lord, is to a measure I have freedom, but I need more. There's a deeper forgiveness. Lord, there's a deeper reconciliation. You know, the word speaks about when we forgive and receive forgiveness, we reconcile with our brothers and sisters. But every time we reconcile together, we reconcile with God also. So now if there's anyone that knows, look, the Lord's doing something in my heart of forgiveness, or I need to forgive, or I need to receive forgiveness. I need to let that thing go. I can't stay in that place if I messed up. Just stand up and I'm going to pray for us. Just stand up. Thank you, thank you. Just stand up if you're in that place. If you know that the Lord's speaking, the Lord's doing something in your heart. Something popped and you're like, ah, that thing's still there. And I don't want everyone to stand up. I don't want it to be a... I want it to be the Lord did something today. There is something there. It's my mother. It's my father. It's my teacher. It's someone in this church. It's someone, a close friend. It's a leader. And that thing, just you thought it was dealt with. But that thing's still there. Or you did something and you can't quite forgive yourself. You can't quite go past that place. It popped today. You thought, ah, that thing's buried, and it popped today. Okay. Let me pray first quickly. Put your finger on something this morning, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we get to come to you, Lord. We don't stay in where we are, Lord. Because your word says that you are working in us, continuously working in us. And we respond and we work out what you are working in us, Lord. And I pray for everyone standing in the response to you, Lord, to your spirit, Lord. Everyone standing in the convictions and the reminders and just the unction of what your spirit is doing in them, Lord. Lord, I thank you that there will be much fruit in the response, Lord. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling with forgiveness, Lord, that they will be able to take that step of faith, Lord. Whether that person or situation is ready to receive it, but they will step over, Lord, and forgive completely like it never happened. That thing won't pop again, Lord. That there will be a taking off of the thing that hinders, Lord. That they will walk in complete freedom today, Lord. And Lord, and I pray for those that stood because they can't forgive themselves. They can't receive forgiveness. There might be shame in the house this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray that they will receive a new robe from you this morning, Lord. Cleansed by you, Lord. Shame has been broken, Lord. That they will see it. Lord, I pray for eyes to see how you see them, Lord. And Lord, I pray that that thing will not hinder, that thing of I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy. Lord, you have made them worthy, Lord. That there will be a stepping out today of freedom. So I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do by your Spirit in every heart that responded today, Lord. That it will be such a shift and such a cry to run this race with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.